following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It is 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It is Sunday, the 28th of February. It's been a long time since we've been together, guys. So anyhow, I'm super glad to see you. Thank you so much for joining us for the Walking Dead online viewing party, the original, here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Welcome back to our listeners. We haven't been together since Thanksgiving weekend, Sunday, November 29th, 2020. That's when we were watching Walking Dead World Beyond, Season 1, Episode 10 finale, called In This Life, and it is good to get back to this. I am double-checking. My helper, Joan, is in the chat, but having a little technical issue. I'm going to give her some applause. Number one, because she's always a huge help to me. Number two, because she was having technical difficulties, and I was hoping the applause wave would let her know if it's working, and it seems like it is, so I'm super happy that got figured out. All right, as usual, tonight's show, as always, contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials, which means it might be a little bit spoilery, but it's something that AMC didn't mind that about. Okay. Welcome to Season 10, Episode 17. Kind of weird how things have been going on. So due to work stoppages from the COVID-19 quarantine, the usual scheduling to which most of us were accustomed has been drastically rewritten. Dear God. Tonight begins the special additional six episodes that they added to Season 10. Season 11 will be the last one for The Walking Dead Classic. And also with strangeness, as of right now, it is said to be expected to air in its traditional October season opener slot, but there will be 22 episodes total, which is like this one. This one was the usual 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, the six that they added on. I'm not sure why they're doing that for season 11. I'm only going to assume that there are certain plot points that they want to get to before they advance another part of the franchise, such as Fear, maybe World Beyond, and they need this particular show. Pardon my hiccups, I'm so sorry. They need this to be at a certain particular place. I'm assuming that has to do with why. So, at any rate, for the moment, this season, still season 10, is going to have 22 episodes as well. And we are starting that addendum tonight. And that will end on the evening of April 4th. And then we'll go into other stuff. So according to Rob Keyes of Screen Rant, who was writing about this on Twitter, The Walking Dead season 11 is a two-year season. Super weird. Again, with the, I think they need the plot to do things. Concludes the main series. A spinoff about Daryl and Carol premieres in 2023 now. It was going to premiere theoretically in 2021, honestly, and then got moved to 2022, but maybe not now. There will also be an anthology series based on known characters and more. And I think in the past, I may have gotten some bad data where I was implying to you guys that the thing with Carol and Daryl was going to be the anthology series, which is going to be, it's not episodic. So in other words, it's not episode 1, 2, 3, 4, and it doesn't follow a giant overarching storyline. Each episode is self-contained, so it's little vignettes, and it might even be origin stories or stuff that we missed from characters that aren't technically in the present day even with us anymore. And that is not the Carol and Daryl show. So I'm not really clear where all this is going, but I'm letting you know what I find out when I find out. Okay. By the way, I'm going to try to catch you up on all the other stuff on the show. I'm going to see if Joan has anything to say. No, she's hanging in there with me, but not saying much. Okay. So the back half of season 6 of Fear started a little off whack with episode 8, not 9. Because if you guys remember, they had the same problem that Walking Dead Classic had, which is to say they got a window where they had a chance to do the filming, and then they did not have an opportunity to finish post-production, all the things that people want to do, because they were in quarantine. And these machines are not something you can take home with you. You can't telework to do the editing for these series. So they just didn't happen until recently. So the timing's all weird. And what this means is, you know, it's been typical in the franchise for several years where they do 8 episodes, end at Thanksgiving, go into the spring, do the other 8, and then Fear followed and did the same thing over the summer. Now we have a third show. We have 2 more shows coming up, plus 3 movies and a Partridge in a Pear Tree. But it messed up the timing. So Fear season 6 last time ended with episode 7. So when this is all over for season 10 on April 4th, the following weekend is going to be episode 8 of Fear. It's not 9 because we never aired 8. Picks up right where the 6 extras end. And that means not season 6, but the 6 additional episodes of season 10 of Walking Dead Classic. I know this is so confusing. I'm trying really hard not to drown you guys. Okay. However, that episode, much like season 10 of Walking Dead, was likely partway finished already, so it's being shown alone, which means later in April is not going to be the rest of season 6 of Fear yet. We don't have dates when episodes 9 through 16 air yet for Fear, except to assume that World Beyond will be held back again, or it could be run in the summer so that Walking Dead is planned to resume in the fall of 2021, like used to be typical. So we don't know how the other 2 shows are going to line up to make that happen in October. Additionally, Fear the Walking Dead has also been renewed for a 7th season. I know Joan's going to roll her eyes when I flip over to that window. I will bet you. She's saying that she's a little rusty on the show and everything, too. Just listening to what I'm saying, I had stuff that she hadn't heard yet. Yes, I did quite a bit of digging the last month to prep for this because they finally released stuff. Starting in January, they started promoing and running their mouth on Twitter, that sort of thing. Okay, so as I said, and I'm waiting for Joan hasn't said anything yet, but I know the eye roll is coming. Fear has a season 7, which was set to premiere at the end of this year, which means it most assuredly must be no later than the end of this summer, or currently with Walking Dead Classic season 11, unless World Beyond does that instead. Which might get all weird because, again, if you guys remember the 3rd series, World Beyond has 10 episodes per season and ends with season 2, which is next. So that doesn't line up with the 8 episodes, take a break, 8 episodes thing that they used to do. They're doing the best they can. We all are, because there's so much stuff we've had to deal with because of quarantine. And I'm sure we're all happy we're still here to do so, but it's frustrating when you're trying to do these things. And also for us, it is entertainment and something fun to do while we're at home more often. But remember that for other people, this is their job. So there's all kinds of job craziness. And some of them don't even have those jobs now. And that's a shame. So we're hoping something can be worked out for them. All right. What else do I know? World Beyond Season 2 currently went into production as of February and is slated to air sometime in 2021. So far, this is the current dirt that they are saying in promotions and articles. There's a possibility it could double time slot with Fear or with Walking Dead Season 11 to wrap up so that everything kind of wraps where Rick's movies in theory begin. Because remember, he's got those 3 movies, and I think they're going to be TV movies, which is to say they'll be full-length movies, but they might be on AMC and not in the theater, or else they could be on AMC and cohabitate in the theater, as many shows have been doing lately. They have movies that are premiering on cable and in physical theaters where they have safety procedures in place to let people in. All these things are on the table right now. All right, also, And in 2022, there is a fourth series coming, which I've told you guys about around Thanksgiving. The spinoff series fronted by Carol and Daryl, which of course spoils that they make it out of at least season 10, if not 11. And as I mentioned, I was operating under erroneous assumptions earlier when I painted it like they were going to be the episodic one. So we know that they're doing the series and it means they're out of season 10 to the end of the season. We don't know what happens in 11. And it's not necessarily assumed that the Carol and Daryl show has anything to do with that. I will let you know when I find out. I'm so sorry that this is confusing. It's hard for me to. The Untitled 4th series will not be an episodic roadshow style story, as I reported earlier. This is instead a 5th series. Quote, an episodic anthology, Tales from the Walking Dead, is in development by AMC and the show's chief content officer, Scott Gimple. People reported. It's been 10 years, quote, gone by, BYE. There's, you know, obvious pun to the first episode ever. What lies ahead, also an episode, haha, are two more to come and stories to tell beyond that, Gimple said in a statement. What's clear is that this show has been about the living, made by a passionate cast, team of writers and producers and crew, bringing to life the vision put forth by Robert Kirkman in his brilliant comic, and supported by the best fans in the world. We have a lot of thrilling story left to tell on The Walking Dead, and then this end will be a beginning of more Walking Dead, brand new stories and characters, familiar faces and places, new voices and new mythologies. This will be a grand finale that will lead to new premieres. Evolution is upon us. The Walking Dead lives, end quote. Let's see if Jonah has anything to add about these things. A couple little comments. Let's see. Oh, she said, yep, her eyes are rolling. I called it. And obviously she didn't do much to sweetie, it is perfectly fine. I am just glad to have some company while I'm doing the show. I'm glad that we are kind of back to old times, at least here. All right. If you guys want to participate in the fun, remember always you may call in to speak with the hosts at any point in time during the show, 914-338-0314. Anytime tonight, I'm going to keep this rolling. The show is 9 to 10-ish. It tends to run over. There is Talking Dead tonight. We'll get to that later. And so what that means is I will probably leave this running till maybe 10:30 or getting close to 11. It depends on how everything works out. You know, they may start getting chatty since we haven't been back for a while. We'll see how it goes. But feel free to call me. I'd love it if you call me soon because then we could talk more freely. If you call during the live show on TV, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, and I know a lot of you feel that way, join us in our live chat room. We will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact, and you can talk by text. You know, it's kind of like IRC chat watered down, if you know what that is. We post the link to the episode on our Facebook page. I did not get to put it on Twitter. I forgot, mea maxima culpa. But I will try to start doing that again. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening or any evening we're doing a show, you can still go to each episode link later and download that broadcast as an MP3 for later listening. Just go to the page, click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right. You can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes. I have to admit to you guys, I actually have not successfully been able to do that. And at some point, I really do need to go over to iTunes and find out how that works, since I've been telling you guys it's a thing. So I need to make sure that's true. All right. Tonight's episode is entitled Home Sweet Home. It's 8:45. I've been very chatty. So there's a lot of stuff I will have to tell you guys after the breaks and stuff. But I will be happy to do that. So we have plenty to talk about. So the official AMC synopsis for this episode is Maggie has returned to the dismay of Negan, of course. The trials she endured since leaving has made her harder in order for her and her son to survive. When her past catches up to her, Daryl and Maggie unexpectedly fight an unseen and unknown threat. And as I often do, additional synopses for you guys to kind of expand the conversation. I just picked one because it's kind of huge. This is from a source we've used before, but not very often, so it won't be that familiar to any of us. It's called ReadySteadyCut.com. And their author is Jonathan Wilson. Do not know him. This is written February 22nd, and it is The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 17, that's tonight, recap. It is kind of long, but since we have not been together, I thought I'd pick this one because it will give you guys a chance to kind of remind yourselves what happened before so that you know what's going to happen tonight. Pardon my cough drop. Okay. This recap of The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 17, Home Sweet Home, contains spoilers. This is about tonight's episode, and I might interrupt myself depending on how far they go. I did want to get it for the recapping of prior stuff, but I might have to nerf this. We'll see how we go. All right, it's been a while since The Walking Dead Season 10B finale, and that's usually where things end. But the powers that be over at AMC have elected to bless us with six bonus 10th season episodes, the first of which, Home Sweet Home, was released on AMC Plus on Sunday the 21st, a full week ahead of its cable debut. Usually it's Thursdays to the Sunday when it actually airs. A lot is asked of this 10C premiere, including handling the fallout of the Whisperer War, reintroducing Laura Cohen's Maggie, who has been absent since the show's time skip, and suggesting where things might be heading in the near future, and that includes a new set of bad guys. If that does come up, I am going to read it because it has been mentioned in promo materials. That's the what I mean by the warning I give you guys every week. They may spoil some stuff officially, and I'm going to read those things. So I don't want to hear any fussing. All right, I'm going to check on Joan, see if there's anything I need. She just said, back to a little slice of normal with the show. I'm very grateful for that, too. Yes, I'm really enjoying that. Classics, you can never really go wrong. Okay, because of all these obligations, The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 17 can sometimes feel as if it's being pulled this way and that, with a lot of slightly ungainly exposition on everyone's lips every time they take a breather. All right, this seems to be talking about tonight. I'm going to keep reading, but I'm going a little slower in case I need to quit and move around. In that sense, it's smart to trim out any potential subplots and keep things focused on a small clutch of characters, with Maggie herself primarily among them. This is in the trailer, no big. This is also in the trailer, so I'll read it. After a brief opening in which Maggie catches sight of Negan for the first time, she spends the rest of the episode with Daryl, Kelly, and her two allies, Cole and Elijah. And these are new characters. We'll talk about that later tonight as well. Looking for clues about who did a thing that I'm not going to actually tell you. That's a plot point. And I don't think it's in the trailer. I think you do see these people, and it is announced that they're coming. So I told you that part. When Maggie fills Daryl and thus the audience in on her absence, it hardly seems worth the effort. She and her son Herschel have been schlepping around various communities. We knew this was a thing because she ran off with Georgie. And that's not from the article. That's me saying. Some of this is about what she was doing, and I'm not going to tell you that part. Blah, blah, blah. They do mention something else that we will get to when we get to trivia, and you guys are going to see in 10 minutes anyway. There is one thing I'll tell you tonight. It's theoretical. It's not a spoiler per se. It's somebody hypothesizing. There's a new set of villains tonight. One of the new characters is part of that. And there's hypothesizing whether those new people are related to CRM, Civic Republic Military. Those are the Men in Black in Walking Dead World Beyond, and the helicopter people, and A and B, and all the shit with Jadis, and blah, blah, blah. That's all them. Okay. I'm not going to read you the rest of it because it's spoilery, and I actually do have a link I'm going to read at the end of the show. That's very spoilery, which is why I'm waiting till the show's over and I'll read it to you last. So I'm going to just skip over that part. It's 8:50. We've got 10 minutes. So I'm going to cover when I'm able to, check in on Joan. Joan's not fussing. She never does. You're always very kind to me here. She heard some of what I was talking about. So I don't feel too bad about having slipped just a little, slipped on purpose, including things that are a spoiler, because as she demonstrated, it wasn't really secret. Oh, with the hiccups. So sorry. Oh, Jesus. I promise I'm not drinking and doing a radio show. I promise. There are nights when I want to really bad, but I'm not going to. Okay. Writers and directors. All familiar faces. Tonight's episode was written by Corey Reed. Remember that name for later. I got something to tell you. And Kevin Diebolt. And directed by David Boyd. All of these guys are Walking Dead alum. So let's do Corey's bio. And basically, same bio, just updated for whatever new work they've done. So Corey was born in L.A. He's a son-in-law of producer Jeremy Stevens. He's been married to Nellie Stevens Reed since May of 2008. Reed is an American television producer and writer who served as a writer since season 5 of Walking Dead. Corey started in the industry as a writer on the television series Medium. He was praised for his writing style, and that got him a place as a main writer for the TV series Da Vinci's Demons. I don't think it's related to... there's another Da Vinci one that was out in the early 2000s. I can't remember it now. It's like 2003. Joan, if you feel like looking something up, that might be something to check. It's Da Vinci something. It was a TV series. It may have been worked on in Vancouver, Canada. Not sure. All right. Corey has written for other lesser-known TV series as well. He's also been a script cord and writer and story editor for Medium. Corey has previously written 18 Walking Dead episodes, starting with season 5, episode 3, Four Walls and a Roof. That was his. The last one before tonight that he's worked on was season 10, episode 16, the original finale, A Certain Doom. Tonight's episode will be the 19th episode he's written for the franchise. Reed also has been a supervising producer for 16 episodes in 2014 and 15, and co-executive producer for 79 episodes from 2015 to present, including all of season 10 so far. He has been on Talking Dead twice so far, in 2016 after season 6, episode 4, Service, and in 2018 after season 8, episode 3, Warning Signs. All right, that's Corey. Let's see what Joan says. No promises about not drinking while typing. You know, I don't blame you. I need to be cogent because I'm running the board and I don't want to break things. It's more likely Joan's going to drink when fear comes back anyway. Yes, that's true. And I might join you. We'll see. All right, Kevin Diebolt, the other co-writer for tonight. He was born in Buffalo, New York. Kevin has a fun bio. He was New York's former Teen of the Week for the Lancaster New Era. I assume this is a newspaper. I actually never looked. It's in his bio online, in his IMDb. So, he had a Bachelor of Arts in Drama from Ithaca College. According to his Twitter bio, he considers himself based in New York City, Jersey, and occasionally L.A. He's a father, lollygagger, telescribe, hashtag The Walking Dead, copper, Kevin probably saves the world. That's the title of the show. Borgia, I collect spores. Oh, that's not a show. This is just hobbies. I collect spores, molds, and fungus. WGAE, which is Writers Guild of America East. Not Twitter stuff, more bio. He has been on the advisory board for the Michael Collier Memorial Fellowship in screenwriting through the Writers Guild initiative since 2017. He volunteers for the Made in New York Writers Room program, which is a fellowship program to support professional writers of diverse backgrounds in New York City through the Writers Guild of America East, New York City, and the New York City Mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment. It's a joint venture project. His career has primarily centered on the television industry, leading to extensive experience of writing, editing, producing, and researching, as well as film prep and production. I always love when people are multidisciplinary. I'm a big believer in that. Kevin has miscellaneous career credits as a writing assistant for Ed 2004, assistant to executive producer for The Bedford Diaries 2006, and assistant to executive producer on the TV movie M period O period N as a Nancy period Y, so money with no E, in 2007. He was script cord for the series The Philanthropist in 2009. He has three other writer's credits in IMDb besides The Walking Dead, staff writer for Borgia 2011, executive story editor for Copper, BBC America in 2013, and executive story editor for Kevin Probably Saves the World in 2018. He was writer executive story editor for Havana Quartet, a new drama series developed for Starz in 2016 and 17. Diebold has been a co-producer for Walking Dead for all of season 10. Tonight is his third time writing for the franchise. The first was season 10, episode 6, Bonds. The second was penultimate. This is me being funny. It's not the title. It's Joan and I have a penultimate joke. The second was the penultimate episode, season 10, episode 15, The Tower. And then tonight is his third. All right, it's 8:57. I'm gonna start on David Boyd's bio, but I may have to interrupt myself. We'll see how far I get. Joan is mentioning Da Vinci's Demons was a TV show that aired from 2013 to 15. Corey Reed was a writer. That is true. The show I'm thinking about was not Da Vinci's Demons, and I confuse it with the satire boy band Da Vinci's Notebook, who's basically an a cappella boy band who does parodies of things. So that's Da Vinci's Notebook, but that's not the TV show I'm thinking of either. I may have to Google it while the show is live, or I don't know. We'll see. All right, it's still 8:57. Let me try. David Boyd, tonight's director. David Russell Boyd, ASC, is an American cinematographer and director of television and film, best known for his role as director of photography for the Fox television series Firefly and The Walking Dead. He's currently married to Lisa Roden, an actress and crew member in smaller projects up until the early 2000s. Boyd was born in Cripple Creek, Colorado, to a military father and spent his early childhood in Paris, France. He was inspired to become a cinematographer after stumbling onto the set of his Paris burning, where he was spontaneously recruited by the crew to drag cables for camera and lighting equipment. While attending the University of California, San Diego, as physics major, he took an elective film-watching class called Thursday Night at the Movies. The class was taught by Jean-Luc Godard, who is a veteran of the French New Wave and colleague of Jean-Luc Godard. Godard inspired Boyd to drop his physics major and attend the UCLA Film School to become a cinematographer and director. Boyd is the former first husband of horror actress Barbara Crampton of Reanimator, From Beyond, and other works. Member of the American Society of Cinematographers, which is the ASC I mentioned earlier, since 2006. Boyd has been assistant director and producer for a couple of small projects. It's 8:59, and I'm going to actually pause there and come back to this after the first commercial break so that we can give him the attention he is due. I'm going to give a quick applause. Just to thank them. Oh, crap. Okay, that was just a promo thingy. Okay, we're getting ready. 30 seconds. All right, so I'm going to get it in place where I can pause this. Joan mentions it looks like 10 episodes as supervising producer and 8 as co-producer. That's fine. That's it. Joan just found it. It was Da Vinci's Inquest, another show that aired 98 to 2006. And that is absolutely the show that I'm thinking of. The former spouse of a good friend of mine in that area was part of the staff for that show. That's how I heard about it. I never actually saw it. But anyway, that's a show that I keep mistaking Da Vinci's Demons for, because that was the only Da Vinci TV show I knew about. All right. Yes, Joan. Good as always. I'm going to go ahead and go dark. I'll see you guys at the first commercial break. Welcome back and thanks. It's 9:03. We're already at the break because that was short, sweet, and to the effing point. I'm going to give the opener 5.5. It's shorter than I think really deserves a lot of attention, but they got some really important things right out on the table and just get it over with. Maggie saw Negan. Maggie's become more of a badass, and that's going to get all interesting. Plus, dealing with Judith and RJ and obviously Herschel and so on. Joan is actually willing to give it a 6, and that's fine too. And mostly because Maggie! Oh, yeah, let's give Lauren some happy. Yes. Joan did actually see the opening as a preview, so she knew this was coming, and she still loved it anyway, so that's all fine. All right, so we got a 5-5 and a 6. 904, help me keep track of the time. I'm going to try to jump back over to David Boyd's bio. So we were talking about the shows he'd done. Oh, he's been assistant director and producer for a couple smaller projects, camera operator for almost 60 projects, including many B-movies or horror classics such as Trancers, Ghoulies, From Beyond with then-wife Barbara, Return of the Living Dead 2, The Flash, the TV show, the newer TV show, NYPD Blue, Beverly Hills Cop 3, 1995's Truman with Gary Sinise, TV show Murder 1, Kiss the Girls, Galaxy Quest, which was a lot of fun, and many others up through about 2009. Boyd's first cinematography project, that's a Billy Eilish thing. Okay, that was an advertisement, but we're probably going to be back soon. I'll try to get this done. Boyd's first cinematography project was, okay, I got to make sure I do this correctly because the last time I read his bio, I know this person, I'm friends with him, so I want to make sure I do this properly. it was Samtau Pepinian Sukaritku, and he goes professionally by S.P. Samtau, and he did a movie called The Laughing Dead in 1990. It was very big in the D.C. area because he was living here at the time, which is how I met him. Boyd also did cinematography for Deadwood, Without a Trace, Sons of Anarchy, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., among others. We have AMC Plus commercial, so we might be going back. We are going back. I will finish the last couple lines at break number 2. Thank you for your patience. Okay, it's 9:13, so we had a nice little chunk of time there for the second commercial break, and I'm actually going to go to 6 with this. You know what? Actually, 6-5, I think, because what I really like is there's a sense of cohesion that seems to have been missing from the last couple of episodes. And I don't think it's all just about Lauren, but I think it's everybody going back to old people, old crew, familiar ways. And Maggie adds an element that really hasn't been there for a while. And also I like the fact that her people and the other people from Hilltop and Alexandria seem to fight well together. I'm kind of digging that. All right. So, let's see. I'm going to put down my 625. Let me make sure Joan can hear me because she's not talking. And, oh, there. Okay. So, let's go back to the end of David's bio before we get too much further. Boyd has been both cinematographer and director of photography and a director for Walking Dead. Cinematographer for 9 episodes from Guts, Season 1, Episode 2, early on, back in 2010, to Cherokee Rose, Season 2, Episode 4, in 2011, but then director for 11 episodes from Secret, Season 2, Episode 6, in 2011, to tonight's episode. Also, he is already committed to be director for other season 10 episodes, you know, the add-ons, Find Me, episode 18 next week, and Diverged, which will be episode 21. All right, it's 9:15. We got a little time. It is trivia time. So we have trivia for tonight and for last episode. Trivia for tonight's episode. It is the 148th episode of Walking Dead ever. First appearance of the character Cole. No bio yet, but he's somehow connected to Maggie. He's the person with Maggie who does not have a thing on his face, I think. Because, yes, because that's Elijah. We'll get to that later. First appearance of the Reapers. This is their first appearance in the show, and there is no bio or any sort of information about them, but they are the new antagonists of some stripe. I got a reminder in the last episode. I had commentary for this next part, and now I realize I answered my own question. So I'm going to tell you what I said, and then I'm going to tell you how I corrected it. All right, so it also says last appearance of the Hilltop Colony. And at first, I don't understand why that would be. And so it reminded me that towards the end of the last episode, which I haven't seen since Thanksgiving, and I've slept since then and drank, I forgot that it had been burned down and trashed in the fight with the Whisperers. So that would explain that, although the location and all that stuff, I feel like it would be worth trying to rebuild something in that place, but that's me. And maybe they will, but they can't be based there for quite some time if they do so. As of this episode, Ryan Hurst has been removed from opening credits. And Lauren Cohen has been reinstated in the opening credits for the first time after being absent since the episode What Comes After. All right. We still have commercials, so co-stars tonight. Okea M.A. Akwari as Elijah. Several years into the apocalypse, Elijah encountered Maggie Rhee while on an expedition shortly after her departure from her home. After forming an initial bond, Elijah joined Maggie and her son on their quest to build up other settlements around the country for the following years until their eventual return to Virginia. So to answer your earlier question, Joan and I were talking about Alexandria, which I'm going to wrap up because we're back. He first appeared in episode 16, A Certain Doom. And I am going mute. I'll see you guys at break number three. Okay, guys, it's 9:28. Break number three. And I'm going to go to 6.5. We'll see what Joan's got to say. She's going to 7. Okay, yeah, she's got to step away for a second. I want to run back real quick. I know I need to keep going with the trivia, but I wanted to mention something Joan and I were talking about at the last break and in the chat room. So one of the things that I like to talk about regarding this show, it takes place at least in character, in the storyline, in Alexandria, Virginia. And I've lived in D.C. all but just a few years of my life, and I've several generations native of Washingtonian. And I know that nobody officially associated with the show listens to my little drivel, but I'm hoping somehow they will get the message that the continuity people who write stuff for how stuff is supposed to be in Alexandria, I know it's fiction, and I know people take liberties with stuff, but there's certain things that if you're going to use a location like Alexandria, Virginia, home of Mount Vernon, right next door to D.C., there are so many times in this show, and they did it tonight, where people act so confused where Alexandria is and act like they've never heard of it. My God, there are so many historic locations associated with D.C. that are in Alexandria. People have heard of the city, at least, even if they don't know how it goes. And the people tonight were asking kind of like, Alexandria was this nebulous place they'd never heard of. And I got to call them out on that. There are people in California who know what the heck Alexandria is, so there's no excuse for this. Please, writers, talk to some actual Washingtonians and learn, because if you're going to use this location, you should use it properly. Otherwise, there's no purpose in making it Alexandria. You can make it any town you want if you're not going to run it like it is Alexandria. So anyhow, Joan was saying that they made it sound like a housing development, but the thing you got to understand is Alexandria, the city of Alexandria, like where Old Town is, but Alexandria is also part of Fairfax County, and it's got suburbs and all this stuff. So it's plausible that there's a complex like this, and it would be in the same city as all the other stuff. But these people make it sound like they're 2 or 3 hours drive away from these places, and it just doesn't work like that. So also Joan and I were talking about that they should rebuild Hilltop. And maybe they can't live there for now. Okay, so we're caught up now with the things we said. And we still have a commercial, so I'm going to go back to trivia and try to advance that before we come back to the live show. Okay, so co-stars. Okay, so we're talking about Elijah. He first appeared in the last episode. Brianna Butler plays Maya, first appearance, no bio yet. I don't think she's actually been on the show yet, maybe later in the episode. Kian, I don't know if I'm saying this right, K-I-E-N, Michael Spiller, is the actor who plays Herschel Ree. We haven't seen him yet tonight. Herschel has appeared as a character in seasons 6, 7, not 8, 9, and 10. He was born in season 9. This is his first appearance on screen as a young child, not an infant or toddler who's barely around. He's already listed as part of the cast for season 11, so we know that he's going to be here a while, and I'm fine with that. Mandy Christine Kerr as Barbara, member of Alexandria with her kids since season 5. Yeah, we're still in commercials, just checking. David Atkinson plays Gus, first appearance, no bio yet. Haley Leary is Ainsley, first appearance, no bio yet. Michael Winnett as the attacker, first appearance, no bio yet, except that it's been announced that he's a member of the Reapers. Mike Winnett, who portrayed the attacker, that's the name of the character that he is tonight, also portrayed an unnamed savior in season 7. His character was not seen killed off in the all-out war up until the end of season 8, suggesting this character may have survived and over time joined the Reapers. Two people uncredited, but I'll get back to that later because we are back. I'll see you at break number 4. Okay, guys. 9:40. Break number 4. I am at 6.5. Jonah's still at 7. And this is all fine and well. I don't know. I apologize because I feel like what I'm about to say, I don't want it to be taken in a sort of people of a certain culture or race or whatever look alike. So I'm sorry, but the guy in the mask reminds me of Heath. But it's been years since I've seen him. And so I'm not sure. And he used to have a distinctive hairstyle, and we can't see it right now. So it's just his face. And he doesn't have his glasses on. So it might not be Heath, but it's somebody who would at least make me pause and wonder if it's Heath. And it would kind of be interesting, because now I can't remember if Maggie should know Heath or not. I forgot where he came into the storyline. So, any rate, chances are it's probably not, and I feel a little bad because I feel like I should know whether it is or not, but I don't. I'm sorry. Anyhow, I'm curious about that new character, and obviously the Reapers are about to be here. Oh, okay. Joan has settled it for me. Thank you. Different actor for Elijah. If it's supposed to be Heath, it's not Corey. Can't remember the last name. Yeah. No, I know who you're talking about. I'd forgotten the actor's name. I feel bad. All right. So, okay, that's a commercial. All right, let me go back to trivia and see what I can say. Yes, that is correct. It is definitely a different actor for Elijah. So, my apologies for not catching that earlier. I just got done saying it, but I'm just reading a lot of data because we have so much to catch up on. Sorry. Uncredited actors tonight, actor Anthony Porey, P-O-R-R-E-Y, and George McClane as Alexandria residents who don't get credited tonight. Trivia from last episode. Last episode was the first appearance of Elijah, first appearance of the Commonwealth Army, last appearance of Beatrice. With Beatrice's death, Cindy, Rachel, and Jules are the only named Oceanside residents that are confirmed still alive. Last appearance of Oscar. With Oscar's death, Bertie and Marco are the only named Hilltop residents confirmed to be alive. Last appearance of Beta. With Beta's death, Lydia and Adam are the only Whisperers confirmed to be alive. There's a lot of people that got wiped out. Last appearance of Alpha in a flashback. Last appearance of Mary in a flashback. And last appearance of the Whisperers, also in a flashback, technically, except for Lydia. All right, we're still in a commercial, so I'll keep going, but probably not too much more. This is the 11th episode to share the same title of a comic series volume. After Days Gone By, BYE, Made to Suffer, This Sorrowful Life, Too Far Gone, No Way Out, A New Beginning, What Comes After, The Calm Before, Lines We Cross, and What We Become. And we're back. I will talk to you guys at break number 5. Okay, thanks. Okay, guys, 9:48, break number 5. I'm actually going to go up to 7. We'll see what Joan's got to say. But holy crap, apparently the Reapers at least can fight significantly better than most of the Whisperers and some of the Saviors. And Joan's actually willing to go to 725 for the new villains. They might be interesting eventually. I find it weird that one of them is hunting a bunch of people. It seems arrogant in a setting like this that anybody is just, you know, a single-handed bounty hunter that can take on so much stuff. I don't know. It's a little bit of disaster porn to me. But anyway, I digress. They are kind of interesting to watch. So this is fine. And we're rating them pretty high. So let me go back to trivia, see what I can tell you guys. I'm going to stay on and read everything I've got to say afterwards. Joan, if you need to go, I understand. That's fine. I just want to get it into the episode. All right. So last episode trivia. First appearance of Elijah, we already covered that. First appearance of Commonwealth Army, I said that. I interrupted in the middle of this somewhere. Oh, I already read that to you guys, because then we're talking about the comics, which we normally don't do, but this is just titles, so that's fine. Okay, this episode, along with Days Gone By, No Way Out, A New Beginning, and Here's Negan, which is the new one, are the only episodes to be directly adapted from the respective comic volumes of the same name. The other 7 use the titles for episodes that are not directly related to the source material from that same named volume. This episode was originally meant to air on April 12, 2020. However, the release date was postponed due to COVID-19 pandemic, as it was still in post-production. Instead, and remember, that was last week's episode we're talking about now. Instead, it was later released as a special episode on October 4th, 2020. This is the first time ever an episode of the original TV series has been postponed. This was originally going to be the season finale, but before season 11 got delayed due to COVID, forcing the crew to extend season 10 by 6 more episodes. And I don't actually understand how it's any different to create 6 more episodes you didn't originally have versus new stuff for the next season. I don't understand what's different that's manageable in a quarantine. But again, my experience with television is super limited and certainly not any of these kinds of channels. Chris Hardwick is there. I do have the roster for Talking Dead, but I will get to that in a bit. And Chris may beat me to it, but I'll still read it to you guys later. Okay, this is the first time a season finale of the original TV series has been changed into an ordinary episode, meaning that it was the finale, now it's just an episode because there's 6 more. And this is the first time a new episode of The Walking Dead and The Walking Dead World Beyond aired the same night. Also a thing. Okay, we still have commercials. I will keep going. This episode marks the return of Maggie Rhee. Last week, who had been absent since What Comes After. As of this episode, Maggie is the last character introduced in season 2 confirmed to still be alive. The survivors use the Walker Guts trick, first discovered in Guts by Glenn, once again to walk among a herd unnoticed, though this time the plan is complicated by the presence of Whisperers among the herd. Unlike on many previous occasions, the Walker Guts trick works flawlessly, and the walkers never detect the survivors. That's been a quibble that Joan and I have talked about, how they treat that. once you figure that out and you pass it on to other people, it should not be a point of so much damn consternation. Either it works or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, you should know why. Many aspects of the plan used to draw the herd away are similar to Rick Grimes and Glenn Rees' plan in Guts. The survivors used Walker Guts to move through the herd unnoticed and then a vehicle broadcasting loud music to draw away the herd. Connie is revealed to still be alive and is found close to Oceanside by Virgil last time. The song that the Coalition used to lure away the walkers is Burning Down the House by Talking Heads, which I will talk about later when I cover music from last episode. I'm stalling because I think we're coming back. We are coming back. I'll talk to you guys either at the end or break number six. Okay, guys, it's 10:02. Talking Dead is actually starting right away, like the old days, which caught me by surprise because I still have notes to read to y'all. Going to ask your opinion, June. And I agree with you. I'm going to give 7.5 final score, as did she. She's staying on to watch Talking Dead. I wanted to go ahead and read the remainder of my notes so they're not left over for next week. But I would be talking while Chris is talking. Is that okay? I mean, you're free to mute me or whatever if you want to listen to him. And that way it's on the recording. People can go back and listen to it. He's even got the old coffee table creep hands prop. Oh, that's hilarious. That's awesome and kind of disturbing. All right. I am going to go ahead and keep reading my notes. Joan is fine with that. So if you guys are playing this along to watch Talking Dead later, I guess you can come back to my notes. All righty. Let me see. I'm trying to figure out where I last left off. Connie. Okay. Special guest star last time was Lauren Cohen as Maggie Rees. She's now back in the cast. Co-stars Alex Sgambati as Jules, Brianna Venskis as Beatrice, Gustavo Gomez as Marco, Anthony Lopez as Oscar, Annabelle Holloway as Gracie, Anthony Azor as RJ Grimes. I wish RJ would get more screen time. I'm a little upset he hardly does. Grace Toso as Rotted Female Whisperer. Uncredited actors. Samantha Morton as Alpha, because it's just archive footage. Thora Birch as Mary, same thing, archive footage. Micah King as Ezra. Autumn Azul as Aaliyah. Maya and Delaney Timber, twins, as Miriam. And these are Jerry and what's her name's kids? I can't remember the character. Seven as Dog, and I haven't seen Dog lately either, I've noticed. Unknown stand-in as Elijah. They didn't mention previously who that was, but now they have. Unknown as Female Whisperer, unknown as Socorro Espinoza, Darian Fisher as Commonwealth Soldier. The following are Alexandria residents: Jimmy McAfee, William Herlth, H-E-R-L-T-H, Mario Williams, Shalane Demarest, Chuck Hollywood, Laura L. Anderson Weber, Michelle Morano, Jack Orrell, O-R-R-E-L-L, Rachel, it doesn't give names for these, Rachel, Elizabeth, and Gia, G-I-A, as Alexandria residents. Hilltop residents, Laura Kelly, Nick Bruno, Warren Franks, Bob Melton, Zach Harper, John Gettier, Lindsay Monahan, Marie Z. Wilson, and Michelle Hartwig Rich. And Oceanside residents, Deja Johnson, D-E-J, apostrophe A, Johnson, Rachel Hernandez, Catherine Spratlin, Ember Brown, Jenny Brown, and David Hernandez. Uncredited whisperers, Nate W. Collins, Landon Brooks, and Laura Kelly. I think we had Laura Kelly playing also a Hilltop resident. Interesting. Dane Diliegro, D-I capital L-I-E-G-R-O, as Hero Walker. Deaths last time, Rifle Whisperer, Female Whisperer, Beatrice, Oscar, Beta, at least 32 unnamed Whisperers, and two unnamed Oceanside residents. They did not find any goofs, errors, or bloopers. You guys can already see. I'll tell you later who's on Talking Dead, in case you are not watching Chris Hardwick at the moment. Cast birthdays. I have a lot of them. Again, Joan, if you need to go, this is fine. I don't mind. I had a big chunk because we haven't talked since Thanksgiving, so there's a lot accumulated. So because we've been on hiatus since Thanksgiving, we have another catching up to do for birthdays. So we're going to do December and unknown birthdays, and next week we'll do January and February, and then we should be caught up. All right, so December birthdays, cast, crew, and other. Nadia Hilker, who plays Magna, born in Munich, Bavaria, Germany. Stuart Greer, who was Roman, one of the saviors. We don't have a birthplace for him. He was born December 1959, but we don't have a birthplace. C. Thomas Howell, yes, that actor, is a Hilltop resident, resident one slash guard. And by the way, one of the articles I had recently that I posted to our Facebook page has scuttlebutt that he is actually going to reprise that role. It's uncredited for contractual reasons. Like when they say Hilltop resident one, they don't mention that it's him for a while. They're squirrely about it. And I think there's a contract problem. So anyhow, he had a birthday December 7th, and he was born in Los Angeles, California. So happy birthday to him. Carl Edward Mackinnon Jr., who played Richard in The Kingdom, December 15th, and he is born in Queens, New York. C. Thomas Howell, by the way, was December 7th. Stewart was December 2nd, and Nadia was December 1st. I had been leaving the dates out, I realized. Pardon me. It's been a while since I've been doing this. Alexander Xander Harper Berkeley, who played Gregory in Hilltop, December 16th. He's from Brooklyn. Emma Jean Bell, who played Amy, Andrea's sister, way back at the beginning of the show, December 17th, Union, New Jersey. Heather Lori Holden, goes by Lori Holden, who played Andrea, December 17th, also, interestingly, in Los Angeles, California. They were born almost two decades apart, yet they were playing sisters. Kind of fun. Jeff Kober, who played Joe, the Claimers leader, you know, I claim this, all that business. December 18th, Billings, Montana. Ali Alharemi, who played Alex Rame, R-A-Y-M-E, is the Red Jacket Wolf hanging out with Carl in season 6. December 20th, Akron, Ohio. Tom Payne, who played Jesus in Hilltop. December 21st, Chelmsford, I may be mispronouncing this. I apologize to anybody who's British if I am. Chelmsford, Essex, England. Young Song Yap, Stephen Young, who played Glenn. December 21st, so he's a solstice baby. Seoul, South Korea. And apologies if I butchered your name. I'm trying to do better about that. Please feel free to politely correct me if you know better. Tracy Thunderbird Dinwiddie played Regina, savior who split with Jed, December 22nd, Anchorage, Alaska. Michael Raymond James, who played Dave, season 2, episode 8, in the Nebraska bar with Rick. December 24th, Christmas Eve, baby, Detroit, Michigan. Juan Gabriel Pareja, who was Morales, season 1, Atlanta camp, December 24th, Houston, Texas. Terry Sue Tova Felcha, who was Deanna Monroe of Alexandria, December 27th, New York City. Michael Cutlets, who played Abraham and has done a bunch of directing and other stuff for the show, December 29th, and he is from Long Island. All right, that's December birthdays. These are unknown. I did want to give these guys credit, and I eventually, another research project, when we get done with the 101 names for walkers, I did want to research the birthdays and see if we can find them, you know, after the fact, because I've been keeping this list for 3 or 4 years. All right, so Aaron Munoz, M-U-N-O-Z, and it's probably pronounced Munoz. I don't know. He was Tony, season 2, episode 8, Nebraska bar scene. I have no date and no place for him. Adrian Kali Turner, who played Dwayne, Morgan's son. I don't have a date. He's born in Atlanta. Airly, A-E-R-L-I, Austin, who played Isabel Michonne's driver in season 7. I'm fuzzy what that all that story is. I'm not sure how that worked. Anyway, no date, no place. Alex Van Lerberg goes by Alex Van, who was in The Hermit, season 3, episode 7, no date, no place. Amber Chaney, who played Annette Green, Beth's mom and Herschel's second wife, in Fridge Picks and as Barnwalker. No date, but she's from Atlanta. Amy Kane, mother number two in season two, episode two, Bloodletting. No date, no birthplace. Danielle Bergio Merrill, who was Judy in the Walking Dead webisodes Torn Apart, from Greensboro, North Carolina. And was also, by the way, Trinity's fight double in The Matrix. No idea of age, but the first IMDb was something on The Crosby Show in 1990. So she has been around for a while. Thank you for all of your work. Deborah May, who played Natanya in Oceanside, was born in Remington, Indiana in 1970. No date. Eric Jensen, Stephen Edwards, Atlanta doctor at Grady, around 1975 in Minnesota. James Tate Ellington, who played Alex in Terminus, Gareth's brother, Mary's son. No date, sometime in 79 in Madison, Michigan. Interesting. Jason Douglas, who was Tobin in Alexandria. No date, no place. Jason Graham, who was William, a to-be-announced character. So this was not revealed at the time I wrote this, but it's been a couple seasons now. So this was a character from season 9, episode 11 of The Walking Dead, born in 74 in New York City. Jason Warner Smith, who was Gavin, Savior Lieutenant, no date listed, likely from Cobb County, Georgia, near Atlanta. Jill Jane Clements, who was Molly, one of the Saviors, no date, no place. John Eyes, E-Y-E-Z, / John C. Thomas, who was Potter, a Savior worker, no date, no place. Julio Cesar Cedillo, who was Wells, Season 3 National Guard, 1970 in Durango, Mexico. Justin Miles, who played Barnes from Alexandria, no date, no place. Karen Renee Malden, Karen Ceesay, C-E-E-S-A-Y, was Bertie from Hilltop, no date, no place. Kenrick Green, who was Scott, somebody from Alexandria, no date, no place. But we do know that he is Sonequa Martin Green's husband. That's where the hyphen Green comes from. So probably we can find some of these guys later on when I get time. When I get time. We'll see. Carrie Jane Cahill, who was Diane, a Kingdom soldier, no date, from Helena, Montana. Lane Miller, who played Riley, a Savior, Rick kills, in the bar in the episode Still Gotta Mean Something. He was uncredited. No date, possibly from Lawrenceville, Georgia, assumed to be roughly in his 30s. All I know. Just trying to give you credit, dude. Lillian, or Lily Birdsell, who was Hannah in the Walking Dead webisodes Torn Apart. She was Bicycle Girl Walker. No date, no place. Nicole Barr, and it may be Barre, because there's a weird accent. Who was Kathy in Oceanside. No date, but from New Orleans. Noel Albert Guglielmi. Oh, I'm so sorry. G-U-G-L-I-E-M-I. Felipe in Vatos, season one. No date, but sometime in 1970, born in Santa Monica. Stephen Coulter, who was Reg Monroe from Alexandria. No date, sometime 1960. I don't have a birthplace. And Whitmer Thomas, who was Gunther, Savior with glasses. No date, from Gulf Shores, Alabama. All right. Featured music from last episode of Certain Doom. The Whisperer's theme by Bear McCreary, who did the original theme for the show, is the instrumental remix played as the Whisperers go off the cliff. Burning down the house by the Talking Heads, Daryl and the rest make their way to a wagon to escape, and they're playing this song to get the walkers to run away. And Inside of Me by Daniel Ryan Murphy, Jared Palomar, and Anthony Sanudo. That's the music at the end of the episode when they're announcing episode 10-17. Six new episodes, returns February 28th. That's the music that's playing in the background, used in a lot of the promos and the trailers. Unaccounted for characters, we're going to skip. Talking Dead tonight, you're probably already watching and you know this, but if you're not, Chris Hardwick is going to talk with Lauren Cohen, Angel Theory, and Walking Dead writer and co-executive producer Corey Reed, who wrote tonight's episode. Co-wrote, sorry. Back half of season 10. 149th episode, next week, season 10, episode 18, title Find Me. Writers, Nicole Maranti Matthews, director David Boyd, as we have discussed. Whoops, I made a typo thing here. That's going to air March 7th, next weekend. Episode 150, season 10, episode 19. Title is One More. Writers are Jim Barnes and Eric Mountain. Director is Laura Belsey, B-E-L-S-E-Y. Her and David keep going back and forth with these six episodes here. So that's March 14th. 151, or episode 20, Splinter. Vivian C. and Julia Ruckman both have written before. Laura Belsey, March 21st. Okay, 152, 21, Diverged. Writers Heather Belson. Directors David Boyd, March 28th. And last but not least, 153 or, pardon, 22, Here's Negan, written by David Leslie Johnson, directed by Laura Belsey, April 4th. And I'm not going to read this article because I want to let you guys go so you can listen to Chris Hardwick. It is stuff that's kind of a spoiler about the end of this, explaining the meaning. So that should be fine because we will have watched it this week. And then next week we can talk about it when most of you have seen it, so I don't feel so bad spoiling anything. All right. Thank you guys for not only those who joined us tonight, but those of you who might be listening later on via podcast, iTunes, or the Blog Talk Radio website. Special thanks to our host, NDB Media. We hope you guys will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network. Please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links. See you all next time. Thank you, Joan, very much. Joan just mentioned something. Oh, she forgot. Lauren just mentioned the hilltop is also where the loved ones are buried. Another reason we build a crap. Good point, Joan. That has not been brought up. That's, yeah. I just really feel pretty strongly about that. And apparently I'm not the only one. And they have very good reasons to come back to it. But they're going to need to be elsewhere while they're doing it. Because obviously it's targeted. All right. I'm going to let y'all go. Go watch Chris. Go see Lauren and Angel and the writer. And have a good time. And I will see you next weekend. Appreciate you guys coming out. Let me get some outro music for you. And there we go. All right. Thanks, guys. I'll see you next weekend.